This evening we are taking a verse, or part of a verse, from the book of Exodus, chapter 12. And you'll find the words chosen in verse 13. Exodus 12, verse 13. These words: "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Exodus 12 and verse 13. Now the Exodus, or the coming out of Egypt, took place, according to conservative scholars, in the year 1445 BC. The key verse here is 1 Kings 6:1, which tells us the Exodus took place 480 years prior to the fourth year of Solomon. The fourth year of Solomon was 965 BC, which means that the Exodus took place 1,445 years before Christ. Israel, you'll recall, found itself in bondage, hard bondage. And we think this turn of events took place under a pharaoh called Amos the First. And he was followed by another pharaoh, Amenhotep the First. And it is thought that under this man, the infant Hebrews were put to death. But God in his mercy planned the deliverance of his people. And Moses was born in 1525 BC. He was subsequently called to God's service at the burning bush. And he returned to Egypt, he and Aaron, meeting with Pharaoh, the first of a number of meetings. And because of Pharaoh's hardness of heart, you will remember, no doubt, that there were a series of plagues which displayed the awesome power of God. We can't look at these in any detail, but there were nine to the event described here in Exodus 12. There was the plague of blood, the plague of frogs, the plague of gnats, the plague of flies, the plague of anthrax, or something similar. The plague of boils, the plague of hail, the plague of locusts, and the plague of darkness. And then there was threatened the final plague, which was climactic and far more awful than anything that had preceded. The plague of the death of the firstborn. And when it was announced, it was said that God would pass through the land and he would bring death to the firstborn of every family, including Pharaoh's heir, his eldest son. It was a fearful, fearful judgment. But there was a remarkable mercy in that God described to his people a sure way of escape from this death. A lamb was to be taken and killed, and its blood was to be daubed on the lintel and on the side posts of the doors. And God promised this: when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now it was an event which is described very fully in Exodus 11 and 12. It happened just as written, and yet it was one of those events which was prophetic, in that it revealed the gospel and told us of the way of salvation. And that's how I want to view it this evening. A remarkable picture of the salvation of Jesus Christ. To that end, I want to speak of three things. First of all, God, when I see. Secondly, blood, when I see the blood. And thirdly, the Passover. I will pass over you. First of all, when God, when I see, it is God in this narrative who is executing judgment, no other, no less. Verse 12 of Exodus 12 says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite. God acting out judgment and bringing death. It anticipates what will happen one day when the scripture says God will judge the world and God will pass through the world and he will smite. Now there was some warning given back in chapter 11. God had said what he will do in verse 5, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill. And that warning was followed by the awful event itself. And throughout history, God has given warning that one day he will judge again, not in Egypt land, but in the whole world. This event happened at midnight. Exodus 12:29, it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. The point of that is that it came when men were least expecting it. It came suddenly, as it came terribly. And it took all by surprise, even though there had been warnings sufficient. Men were woken to judgment. And the Bible says of the greater judgment to come, that it shall take place as a thief in the night. And when men say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Now God came in power about midnight. He said to Moses in 11:4, "Will I go out into the midst of Egypt?" He doesn't send Moses or Aaron. He doesn't commission an angel, though they excel in power. He steps out into the darkness of that night hour, into the streets of the cities of Egypt, because tremendous power is to be displayed. He steps out with his angels. Mentioned in chapter 12:23, the Lord will pass over and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. He was the agent, but he had instruments, his mighty angels, as at the last day. God shall come in great power with his angels to bring judgment upon men. And such was the display of might that no father in Egypt could stop God or turn him from his purpose. Such was the power of God and the strength of God that none could withstand him. It shall be so at the last day. Whatever a man does to divert God, and however he thinks he will overcome the purpose of the Almighty, it shall be seen to be in vain, and every attempt futile. God it is who is judge, and before him none shall stand. Who can resist him? There is none. And in his invincible power, God at the last will bring vengeance and retribution upon sinners in all the world. Here he came in this manner, notably because of the refusal of the Egyptians to accept God's demands. He'd addressed them directly in his word, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh in his arrogance said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" What had been manifest was rejection of the divine majesty, breach of the divine law, And for this God came in judgment with the 10th plague. And God at the end of time comes in judgment because men have resisted his authority and because men have disobeyed his plain commands, they being sinners of high degree. And God will hold them guilty at last, and one day they will answer for all their disobedience, their rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft, and all their denial of God's holy commands. There was this night in Egypt, when God began his judgment work, the most awful cry of anguish. Anticipating it, God had said this in chapter 11:6, "And there shall be a great cry throughout all of the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore." The horror of knowing that time was up, that God had moved into mode of judgment, and Pharaoh's hardened heart was to be dealt with. Even so, the scripture says that when God finally judges this world, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It says that men shall look on him and they shall wail and mourn on account of him. This awful night, death was inflicted. Read again those words in chapter 11:5. "All the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die." But one day, the final day, when God appears, he will inflict a death far worse than the death in Egypt. He will inflict eternal death, like any death. There will be separation from that which is good and worthy. Like any death, there will be anguish and horror. Like any death, there will be loss of good, entrance into darkness, wretchedness, opposition and opposite in every way to life. But the death of the last judgment will be eternal. It will have everlasting consequence. The separation is not for time, but for ever. It's not an entrance into temporal darkness, but into the darkness of that other world. And it's not that temporal life has been withheld, but eternal life. has been lost. Well, think not, my friends, that this is fanciful. For in the day of Pharaoh it was certain, all the firstborn shall die, and it is certain that when God judges mankind, sinners will perish, and they shall suffer everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. I have no doubt that the Egyptians tried to escape the afflicting hand of God. As in any catastrophe, I'm sure that panic seized those streets, and men ran from house to house with news of the death of a child, only to meet the awful news that in that home too, a child had died, the firstborn, even as God had said through Moses. Families where death had not entered, no doubt, ran for their life, tried to find refuge, tried to conceive of some way to avoid the destroying angel, but there was no escape. And at last men shall hide themselves from the wrath of God and from the wrath of the Lamb, even in the mountains and in the caves of the mountains, but there's no escape. There is no escape from an infinite God. There is no hiding from him or fleeing from him. He cannot be bribed. He cannot be withstood. He cannot be overcome. Woe to him that striveth with his Maker. The Egyptians saw that day what God was capable of, even in Pharaoh's palace. God proved himself greater and more powerful than Pharaoh. We see the pathetic scene, perhaps. Pharaoh bending over his firstborn with all the might of Egypt at his disposal, saying, "Not this child!" But the hand of God was stretched out, and Pharaoh broke in a display of emotion never seen within the walls of a royal palace as he witnessed his eldest son succumb to death. So shall it be at last. There is no escape. There is no refuge. The wages of sin is death. So God has enacted, and so God will perform. And upon every soul of man at last, not upon the firstborn only, but every soul of man, death shall be felt to the termination of life. And men shall perish at the stroke of God. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God. Secondly, blood. There was, according to God's own lips, only one means of deliverance. That deliverance lay in a lamb. They shall take to them every man a lamb. There is in this day and in the last day only one way to escape God's judgment upon sin, and it is in the one who is called the Lamb of God. Who was taken as a lamb to the slaughter. The Lamb foreordained from before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ. Would we avoid the stroke of death? Jesus Christ is God's only hope. And this lamb was marked out for death. And so Christ was destined to death. The Lamb foreordained from before the foundation of the world. The Lamb that was born to die. For this hour, he said, was I born. The father of each family could have looked upon the lamb in the time of this awful plague. Characteristics of that lamb. It was lovely, innocent, meek, harmless, silent. The same characteristics are true of Christ. He is altogether lovely. Innocent so that he bears no blemish. Harmless in that he is separate from sinners. Meek, why he says, I am meek and lowly of heart, and silent, even before his murderers, he says not a word, but submits to death. A male lamb of the first year in his prime, so as to represent Christ, the man for sinners, in the prime of life, facing death. The lamb had to be slain. How would they have killed the lamb? By piercing him that night, earlier that evening. He felt the piercing. His blood was shed. It had to be, for its divinely given purpose. The blood had to pour forth. And in the case of Christ, He died. But how did he die? The prophet said, they shall look on him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as a man mourneth for his only son. In the prophecy of Psalm 22, Christ himself is heard saying, they pierced my hands and my feet. His blood was shed because it had been the law from the beginning of time, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Sin deserves death. Death must be exacted. And only if suffered by a substitute in the place of the offender can there be a lifting of the sanction and a deliverance of the soul. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And the blood of that lamb was taken, and it was smeared upon the lintel over the door and the doorposts. And the Israelite family in Egypt, having daubed that blood on the lintel and doorpost, went inside behind the blood and put their trust in the divine provision of blood, and staked their life and the life of their children on the shelter of the blood, and believing they were saved. And so, in reality, it's the blood that saves. It is not our good works, nor our churchmanship, nor our faithfulness, nor our piety. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Jesus Christ has shed his blood, and the sinner must hide behind it. The sinner must put his trust in the death of Christ to avoid the judgment of God. He must take refuge under the covering of the blood, or he's lost. And only if he makes that bloody shelter will he be saved. That is the stark reality. Judgment in the visitation of God. That night God walked those streets. That night, God found his victims. Death reigned. But that night, there was one remedy. Only one. The blood of the Lamb. No escape from death but by the blood of the Lamb. And that is the case today. There is no salvation outside of Christ, and there's no salvation outside his blood, and there is no salvation without faith in his blood. The sinner trusting in what Christ has done to save his soul. The message is the same. Hide under the blood. make the blood of Christ your refuge and seek safety through that. The blood will save you. And nothing else can. God, blood, Passover. Our text says, when I, God, see the blood, blood, I will pass over you. The promise is, I will spare those who trust in the blood of the Lamb. And when I see evidence of you hiding beneath the blood, I will spare you. The blood will be the means of your safety. And in that moment you will pass from death unto life. I will pass over you, not the Egyptians, whose trust is in their eminence and their affluence, in their power, all which things are ineffective in the day of doom. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, you, you who believe my word and trust in the blood of the Lamb, you I will pass over. I have in my mind a sight, so terrible a sight. God walking down the street of a great Egyptian city, his angels, destroying angels, round about him. And one says to the Almighty, this house, Lord. And God looks and says, yes, that house, take the life of the firstborn. A shriek and the work is done. Life is terminated. They go on further along the road till they come to a region different from the other. And one of the destroyers says, this house, Lord. And God looks, and on the lintel and the doorposts, the blood of the Lamb. And God says to his angels, not that house. Passover! They are saved by the blood of the Lamb. There is no terror for them. There is no despair. I will pass over them. And if on the day of judgment, God looks upon you and sees you trusting in Christ, relying upon the blood he shed for the salvation of your souls, God will do no less. Judgment will pass you by. He himself will pass over you. And you will live. when thousands die and millions perish, you will live. So, my friend, are you trusting in Christ? Are you relying on the death of Christ? Is that your hope? Is that your stay? If you are, it is well, and shall be well. If you are not, fear the judgment to come. We shall sing our last song.